Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Here we are again for another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. This is episode 237, for those keeping count at home. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, joined today by Megan Peters, Christian Hoffer, and Mark Deschamps.
Good to be here, guys.
It's a special episode when we're all here.
Yeah, special episode. I want to give a shout out to every single person who took a screenshot. All you Spotify listeners who feel like we've been abandoning you. We've been giving you more love, but sharing the screenshots of your Spotify Wrapped. Apple Music needs to get on that and do their version that also includes, they have a version that includes music, but not podcasts. I need them to get in on the music stuff too. But thank you everyone for sharing that stuff. It's always a delight to see that. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is a show about, you guessed it, Pokemon. We talk about all of it. And today, the reason we have Mark on the show is because in the second half of the show, Mark's played the Indigo Disc, the DLC we have all been eagerly waiting for, except Megan. Megan doesn't.
There we go. I was waiting for the exception there. I was about to say, if I'm not acknowledged in this party, I will feel like my voice has been undermined.
We say this all the time. One of the great things and why you keep listening to this show is because you get varied opinions on literally everything, like even beyond Pokemon. You get, leave McGundam already in the chat. Hi, Mark. Don't let Christian bully you.
He doesn't bully me. He usually bullies Jim.
It's not bullying if it's Jim.
I also want to start. We usually at some point in the show, we read listener reviews and from Spotify and from Apple. And if you do, we send you a sticker. I sent a bunch of them out last week and a bunch of you already are posting about them in the new Pod Swag channel in the Discord server. So if you need to find the Discord server, we've got it everywhere. You can find it in the pin post on X. You can find it in the podcast episode description. You name it, it's there. Another thing I've been waiting to show is a good listener of the show, Kestrel Man or Kestrel Falconry on the Twitch chat, gave a 3D printed the logo, and like for maximum effect, I've got to hold on, it's too bright. There we go. Look at that. Look,
whoa,
that's pretty cool.
That's sick. I'm gonna grab a light box of it, and I'll probably put it like back there so we can see it somewhere. But Kestrel Man, this is freaking great. I'd love to see really that neat. That's super cool. All right, well, like, we've got a ton to talk about today, so we might as well just kind of get right into it. There is one more shout out because we mentioned Jazzwares on last week's episode. The man who is kind of the master puppeteer of all the Pokemon stuff over at Jazzwares, good friend Aaron Margolin, mentioned that he loves that Megan referred to the Mewtwo statue that she got as a lamp.
Bro, it puts off enough light. I will not apologize.
And he's like, man, I've got them all around my office. And I love that Megan also sees them as lamps. He's another guy we need to get on the show soon. We just keep like waiting for like the right time, like when they've got some cool new stuff to talk about, but we'll get him on for sure. All right, let's jump right into it. As what usually happens with this show, we talk about something and then like the reveal happens almost immediately.
I mean, they listen to us and they say, we forgot. We just completely, it's just not on the schedule.
We have a date for Horizons. Yes. Pokemon Horizons, the new anime.
Yep.
It is coming February 23rd, 2024.
Still feels like a long way away.
I mean, considering the fact that it's already airing in the UK. Yes.
Yeah, that's
because,
weird.
You know, traditionally the English dub premieres in the United States before it premieres in the UK. Right. But, you know, sometimes they've got to switch things up. I will say we've said it multiple times on the podcast in the last little bit. The Pokemon Company UK is just crushing things left, right, and center with its events and its, you know, merchandise opportunities. And now with its anime releases.
Is it Chicald or is it showing up in Canada earlier, too? Like, is literally everyone else getting it before us?
Honestly, that wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Usually UK and the Canada go out at the same time. I mean, again, we know the situation. They're wanting to kind of partner it up closer to, you know, Pokemon Day next year. But also Netflix has its internal content calendar and it will release it when it needs to release it. So it looks like February was the prime time to bring in some kiddos to watch the show. So we will be getting it in February.
You'd think the Pokemon Company would have a little more pull than like Netflix on that. That's just me, though. That's weird. Yeah.
Some of it is that the Pokemon Company, whenever they complain about it, Netflix just writes another zero at the end of the check.
Yeah, I'm sure the Pokemon Company said, hey, we would really like this to go live with the UK. And Netflix just quietly slid an envelope across the table. And the Pokemon Company said, never mind. We're okay. That's fine.
to be fair, we mentioned this last week that I have to imagine Netflix wants to give Concierge some breathing room.
Yeah.
I am sure about that. And Concierge definitely is a more involved, you know, art style, you know, that they're trying to push out. I will say, though, for Concierge being on the imminent horizon, where's the promotions for it? I feel like nobody outside of people who listen to this podcast or read comicbook.com are aware that this show is happening for how good it and cute it looks. Yeah. Megan, you know, maybe I'll eat my words tomorrow. They'll launch a full marketing campaign.
Just wait an hour, Megan. I'm sure we'll get something.
That's what I do. I talk, I badmouth something, you know, Netflix anime related. And then they're like, oh, my Megan senses are tingling. Let's listen to the podcast and prove her wrong. So,
Megan, you have to remember something about Netflix. They hype nothing. Like every single time Netflix has like a new video game release, the response is always, Netflix has video games?
Wait, yeah. Netflix has video games?
I don't know. Unless it's The Witcher, One Piece, or Wednesday at this point.
I mean, even The Witcher, they
Witcher they've let die right. a little bit. But when it first was a thing.
Yeah, you put anything out and it's just a list of where's Henry Cavill? We want Henry Cavill.
I mean, to be fair, he's the only reason that show is even remotely watchable. I mean,
that's fair. Well, Netflix realizes that, and that's why they're not promoting it.
I mean, they freaking put ships in different ports all across the world for One Piece and had parties on them. So, like, you know what? That's the kind of promotion I want to see.
It's but how much was that Netflix funded or was that?
That was the Netflix funding part. Yeah. Oh. That was not a Shueisha Toei.
I think inevitably at the end of the day, like why not just put Concierge in the February spot and give us Horizons early?
Because they
already made a decision, Jim.
Yeah.
They're sticking to their guns.
Well, and also you have to understand that in Netflix's eyes, Concierge is a global thing. No one has that besides Netflix.
Right.
Pokemon Horizons, you know, they're not going, it's not going to have like the viewership same impact at all. Like, because it's only here in the United States. Like, it's not a global launch like Netflix Concierge. Like they, you know, it's specifically Netflix has the U.S. rights to Pokemon Horizons.
Right.
Netflix has the worldwide rights for Pokemon Concierge. So that's going to be a big deal in Japan. That's going to be a big deal in Japan. Yeah. Japan and the United States. Those are the two markets that I'm not even gonna pretend.
And I'm excited to see their reaction to it. Guillermo del Toro. He loves anime. Yeah. He loves Pokemon. We know he loves stop motion.
Yeah. Megan's got that story pre-written. She's ready for it. And then we're ready to go.
Ready.
I'm excited. I mean, maybe we'll get some. I mean, it'll be interesting because, like, yes, the show has been out, and so the spoilers are out there, but, like, no one cares
about spoilers for a Pokemon cartoon.
I know, but I think when it comes out stateside, people do, right? Like, when Journeys comes out, and, like, you know, I mean, you know, some of it, I feel like. Whenever there's a big return or whatever, like, we get a nice second bite of that apple, and
we'll see. It'll be interesting with Horizons, obviously, because we're...
Right.
We're missing Ash Ketchum, who was, you know, obviously the major mascot here in America. You know, fans in America really love their nostalgia bait. They love that so incredibly much. So there's obviously going to be pushback on, you know, what we see from Horizons. It's done very well in Japan. You know, so far reviews out of the UK have been great. It'll just be entirely dependent on just kind of the audience shift. Older fans, maybe not so much, but, you know, Netflix isn't really going for them with Horizons. They're going for kids who probably don't have strong feelings about the protagonist of the Pokemon anime, unlike older fans who've been through it with Ash.
Calder asks if Sarah Nadacheny is involved with Horizons. The answer is yes. We don't know what she's doing yet.
Correct.
Yes. Could be.
Once it's finally out, maybe we'll ask her to hop on the show and we can talk to her about it.
I mean, it's likely that at the very least she's doing, like, because, you know, remember, she does Pokemon voices.
She does Pokemon voices.
In addition to playing Ash. You know, she will probably have some level of involvement. We just don't know what yet. She's not voicing either of the main characters. But that's, you know, really all we know in terms of that. Although we should know it now because BBC has the episodes coming out. So,
well, but remember they're airing them weekly, right? They're not certain. Yeah. Like, it could be.
Yeah, we might not have gotten there at this point yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, when they're all done or when the Netflix will definitely know. So. All right, let's get to some TCG news. Another Iono card selling for big bucks.
So, Paldean Fates, the Shiny Treasure EX, which is going to be released here in Paldean Fates, is out now over in Japan. And, oh my God.
man, Pokemon fans, they freaking love their Iono.
Iono is, and so to be fair, it's a really cool looking card. A lot of the secret illustration rares and the secret art rares look really fantastic. But Iono, she's currently selling for $405.
Oh my gosh.
Put that in context, that's twice as much as the Charizard EX.
Holy moly. Rare.
That is four times as much, or nearly four times as much, as the Gardevoir EX. So Iono is outselling the Pokemon waifu card by a degree of four.
Although we do got to mention, Color makes a mention, that Palafin card that's been making the rounds, where, like, Palafin looks like Black Manta, the DC villain. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Like, looks friggin' great, but also terrifying. Have you guys seen that card?
I haven't.
Yes, I have.
All
of the cards look amazing.
They really do. It's in the Discord. So you're just gonna have to get in the Discord and you'll see it there. That's a nice little Discord plug for Semantics, because I know he counts them. He gets on me if I don't plug it enough.
As a side note, PokeBeach also noted what the next the first real set of Pokemon cards coming out in 2024 will be called. It's called Temporal Forces, and it will be releasing in March. And it will be another kind of like Obsidian Flame scenario, in which at least a portion of those cards will be released at the same time as they are in Japan. So,
I wonder if there will be another one of those like weird spoiler situations.
There could very well be.
I mean, if we don't get Blood Moon Urshifu in the in a set coming up soon, I'm really going to have.
So that set is going to be, yes, that's going to be coming out. So here's the thing. So Temporal Forces, we know that it will be include Wild Force and Cyber Judge, which are going to be the January sets that come out in Japan. Remember, they release like sets over in Japan differently than they release international sets.
And then they also mix them up.
The March set that is coming out is Crimson Haze, which obviously is a Blood Moon Ursaluna.
I meant Ursaluna. I know I said Urshifu, which...
Yeah, we know you don't actually pay attention to Pokemon.
I pay attention. There's just too many bear-looking like Pokemon.
I mean, there's like...
Very similar names.
...host of this podcast. Ursula. That out there.
That's exactly... Everyone knew what I meant.
So the belief is that those three sets will all get merged together for Temporal Forces. We don't know for certain. It's always possible that they'll take Temporal Forces and or they'll take Crimson Haze and include it in whatever the May set will be, or June. It might be June, May or June, the spring set. But it's believed that Temporal Forces is going to be a chunky set that includes three releases. And when, you know, my poor wallet is already weeping in pain.
You're still recovering from Lurkana too.
Nice thing is, you know, I still have like one full booster box of Lurkana cards sitting upstairs, and I only need 25 non-enchanted cards left. So I'm good, doing good on that.
Your better option is probably you just flip the box and just buy the individual cards you need on eBay. You'll probably end up with more money. Then if you just
probably. Well, so, you know, funny thing, side note, Lurkana talk. The kind of funny thing about Lurkana is because now that the reprint is happening and like Floodborne, they released a lot more Floodborne product than they had first chapter product.
Yeah.
Like everyone complained about it, but the secondary market prices are like night and day. And now first chapter prices are starting to like drop a lot. So there's only like two cards that are above like $50 that are non-enchanted cards for the second set. And more importantly, enchanted cards for the first chapter are starting to like drop under $100. So it's happening, people. Like, I kind of hope. And
we said be patient, like with Pokemon cards. Yep. It's happening with Lurkana as well.
Yeah,
Is the grand circle of life, the trading card game collecting hobby.
I wrote a big gift guide yesterday on Pokemon cards for a comic book. And so in it, you know, basically I used it as like an opportunity because I get asked the same questions over and over and over every year around this time of year. Like, what Pokemon card should I buy my kid? How do I know if my kid has like a $1 billion Pokemon card? I'm like, your kid doesn't. But before that, I went and wrote out like, here are the most expensive cards from these sets if you're really worried about it. And then I was like cracking up because like the first two, it's like it's the nurse by what's it, Miriam, I think.
Was it two waifu cards?
Miriam, and then I don't know. And then like Charizard. I was like, man, parents are gonna like look at this. It's like, what's the Iono Pokemon? And then they're gonna look it up. Like, why is a girl like the most expensive Pokemon card in the set? I'm like, well, because you're appealing to a bunch of 12-year-old boys. That's why. that is why. Anyways, so that's been our Pokemon card rant of the week. I'm sure we'll go back to it soon.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got some more Pokemon Go stuff to talk about too, right?
Yeah, a lot of Pokemon Go stuff. So we're in a new season. It's called Timeless Travels. It welcomes you to travel back to the days that Pokemon Go was popular.
what a tagline. I mean, I approve.
So basically, they're going to be bringing in all the Hisuian stuff. So they just had a Hisuian Samurott raid. They're going to be introducing the primal forms of Palkia and Dialga. They're adding Weirdeer here soon. They're doing all sorts of stuff like that. The community days, they actually announced what the community days were, but it's not on the, it's like Rallet's in there.
Chansey.
Yeah. What's the other one? And there's one other one that I can't remember.
The third one is a community day classic.
Oh yeah.
I think who it was.
Mark, are you still playing Pokemon Go pretty regularly?
I'm not as hardcore because my national decks for home is pretty slim. Porygon is the classic.
No.
I've only got like a couple of Pokemon left before I have everything. And Go was kind of like helping me finish up like a couple holes in my collection. So I'm still playing it. I got a Samurott yesterday, which is cool. But I've dialed back a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing is that they are, they just announced a brand new character, which they first hinted at like 2 years ago. So this is like the first like new character that has like been in the game since like the Team Rocket admins. His name is Mateo. He is route involved. And so how it works is if you walk a route, at the end of the route, Mateo might be there and he might be there to exchange a gift. So basically you give Mateo a gift, which is then sent to a random person, and in exchange, Mateo gives you a gift from a random person. And, you know, that is kind of the neat thing about Mateo.
Nice.
Wow.
That's cool.
Truly starstruck. Game changing edition.
That is what Mateo is doing. He's there to give you gifts and to promote the routes, which seem to be, you know, the routes are kind of terrible. I'm sorry, it's a bad mechanic.
They're not great.
They're obsessed with getting people playing the way they want to play,
right?
And that's where routes comes in. And I like the idea of it, but I don't have time to go on a route for, you know, 30 minutes or whatever it's going to take.
My problem is they're not accurate. So I went and did a route and I did they tell you where the start spot and the end spot is. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and do this route. Well, there was a loop where you walked around a circle, not once, but twice. And I only walked around it once. And so when I got to the end, they're like, you still have like 1,000 feet left to walk. I'm like, I don't actually. Like, what are you talking about? And they're like, listen, man, you didn't walk enough to get your route reward. Like, I'm never doing this again. How about that? Let's play that game.
I'm way too belligerent for this. I mean, I haven't had Pokemon Go installed on my phone in ages, but when I heard about the routes thing, I was like, this is just, I'm just too much of a contrarian. When a game tells me to do something, specifically in video games, I want nothing more than to do the opposite. So, like,
especially in a mobile game. Like, if I can't play your game sitting on the toilet, I don't want to play.
I mean, that basically describes my entire belief about video games in general.
That's why Switch is so popular.
Honestly, yeah.
The PlayStation 5 has no appeal to me, and you know, PC.
You can get the Portal.
Yeah,
PlayStation Portal device, which is like, I guess, the PlayStation Switch
or
the
PlayStation
Steam Deck. Yeah,
everything. You just
can't take it out of your house,
right? Well, exactly.
I didn't even know that the PlayStation Portal was the thing.
See, there you go. One other thing I wanted to mention before we take our break and get to the Indigo Disc Talk is for Build-A-Bear Evolution completionists, if you did not get the opportunity to get a Flareon when Flareon was available, it is back in stock now at Build-A-Bear, so you can go get it. I know for whatever reason, like, I don't know, they vault them for some period of time and then they unvault them I guess they make a set amount and then they run out and it takes them forever to make more. Yeah. And so that's really what happens. But I know there are a bunch of Eeveelution completionists out there. So,
yeah. And also, if you're an Eevee completionist, go see Godzilla Minus One.
But
correct. You might not think it's relevant. It's relevant.
It really is. Just trust me. Go and watch it and ponder it and how that relates to Eevee and okay. the general premises of evolution.
I'm gonna stop this right here and just go. We're gonna go to break, and when we get back, we're gonna talk Indigo Disc with Mark, who has said way too little in the first half of the show, and so we're gonna make him talk so much more in the second half. All that and more when we're back in 60 seconds.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Okay, well, Indigo Disc, we like it is so close,
very close. We're almost there.
We can taste it. So close. That's how close it is.
And Mark, some of us have already gotten to play it.
Mark, you got to go to New York City to get to play this, correct?
I did. So Nintendo and the Pokemon Company had a special preview for the DLC. I was really interested to see how they would lay it out. All these, you know, comic book gaming, our team gets to do a lot of these types of previews, but DLC is like a weird one. Because I mean, you know, the whole idea of this is it's post game basically. So I was very interested to see how they laid it out and how they, you know, had us exploring the terrarium. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of how Pokemon Stadium is now on Switch, where basically you have to have a rental team. So I didn't get to use any of my Pokemon. I was using their Pokemon. And they gave us a really good team. And it's a good thing they did, because the battles are tough, which is the biggest takeaway.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. And so, like, how much of the game did they let you play?
So we started off with the player's arrival at the terrarium, where you're kind of just getting a glimpse of like what it has to offer. And you know, you meet Serrano, who's the director of Blueberry Academy, and he already has like villain vibes. Maybe I just don't trust any adult in the Pokemon world. But there's just something already about him. I'm like, I don't know about you, man. But we start off with going to the terrarium. And the terrarium is broken up into different biomes. Right. And each one has like a different environment. So we got to actually pick the biome that we got to go to.
Okay.
So I went to coastal because I like a lot of water Pokemon and I like beaches and stuff like that. So we went to the coastal biome, and you go to like one of like the classes at Blueberry Academy. And basically you get like an assignment about Alolan variants. You have to go find an Alolan variant in the coastal biome. Mm. And I tracked down an Alolan executor, and like that was like the first part of the preview.
Sure.
You know, and one thing, if you were disappointed with the performance of Scarlet and Violet, you're not going to find anything better here.
Good. Loved it.
One of my biggest complaints about the game is that I feel like the Pokemon are way too small. It's really easy to run into them. And like, I finally find the Alolan Exeggutor, and like, it's there, and I run into an Exeggut that was on the ground that I couldn't see. And I'm like, oh, this thing's going to get away. And like, luckily, you know, it didn't, but that's been my complaint about the game for a year now. So that's not going to be any better. than it was. But
great.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, there are other improvements. There are some really interesting things that they're doing. One thing that I was kind of surprised by is Pokemon Center's got like an overhaul with Scarlet and Violet.
Right.
Where you're not going into the building. It's just right out in the open. They've got rid of like the nurse and everything. Like you're not even talking to anybody.
This is nurse joy erasure.
Good.
It's erasure. So
like, what would Brock think of this? I know he's not around right now, but what would he think of this?
Brock's like 30 at this point, so he should, you know, hopefully he's
there's no way Brock is married at this point. Still, he may be 30. No way he's married yet.
Everybody has that friend that's still doing it. Like that's still like, you know,
Brock is like living in Seattle, living that crunchy hipster life, maybe working for like a tech company and goes rock climbing on his lunch break.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that.
Sorry, but yes, total tangent.
So I could totally see this being like a new thing for like the next generation. They're just going to get rid of that. And they have like these, like, you know, these self-service Pokemon centers, if you will, which I thought was kind of cool. And they're all over the terrarium. And, you know, we basically, after you finished your class, you hear from Carmine, who was one of the main characters in the previous DLC. And, you know, I knew immediately, I'm like, well, she's going to challenge me to a battle because that's what she does. And they didn't even give you like an attempt to heal up. So I was glad, like, I knew better. And, that's like, that was like the first like big double battle. And that's like one of the big emphases in the Indigo Disc is double battles. And she was not a super challenging battle, but then after that, they had us battle one of the members of the Elite Four, Amaris. And I made it out of that battle like by the skin of my teeth. It was really, really close. And there were a lot of other people apparently at these events that did not beat Amaris.
Well, that's hard when you're playing with a rental team. Like, it's a good rental team, you just, like, when you play with your team, you just know them.
You know them. You
inside,
like,
and out.
And, we were encouraged to play around with moves before we battled her because, you know, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet has the option to pull old moves that a Pokemon has learned and bring them back. But going in, you know, we didn't know what to expect from this battle. And we got to use our Charludon as part of our team, which I thought was really cool. And kind of a beast. I really liked it.
Talk to me about the story. Did they let you experience any bit of that? Or was it just like, look at all the cool things you can do at the Indigo Disc? Like, what? I want to know more about the story. That's what I
was very, very, very protective. You know, they gave us a couple hints about like that cliffhanger from the previous DLC, but that's it. And like, they were very strict on that. Like, they did not want to give us any idea, which is cool on my end, because I'm excited for the DLC. So I still kind of get to go into it with a clear mind and not know what to expect. And I really like the story from the Sword and Shield DLC.
How many biomes were there?
There's four biomes in the terrarium.
Okay.
And, you know, each of them has,
so like, coastal, you know, desert, mountain, and what? Rainforest?
Or something like that. I'm going to have to figure that out.
Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway. But it's really interesting. I did not see any of like the starter Pokemon because, you know, that's one of the big draws, is that you're going to see like starter Pokemon like in their natural environment for the first time. You know, I didn't run into like any Froakie or Squirtle or anything coastal, but I'm sure they're out there. Mm-hmm.
Were there any Pokemon you ran into that were surprises that we didn't know, or not so much?
No, and that's another thing they were really, really protective of.
Pokemon Company, give us something.
We were given a very strict list of which ones we could talk about, but there weren't any big surprises. Like, we didn't run into anybody. We didn't run into anybody that's new other than our Charludon, like I said, who's on the team. Mm-hmm. But that's a Pokemon I'm going to be interested to try out for myself beyond the preview. Like, sometimes you get a new Pokemon and you're like, yeah, okay, that's great. You know, I'll just throw them in I'll throw them in the PC and that's it. Our Charludon was a really impressive member of the team. One of the only reasons I made it out of that battle, because high defense, high special defense, high HP, and allowed me to use a couple max revives to pull in a couple members, you know, of my team to get back in it.
What about the, well, I mean, I know you kind of touched on the performance issues a little bit. Like, is it just more of the same, or is it?
Oh, there was nothing worse, which is a good thing. Because I mean, everybody's, it's been a year. We all know how Scarlet and Violet runs at this point.
They give you any indication on how meaty it may be, or like, I mean, I got to imagine it's going to be close to the last one, but wasn't sure if, because this is presumably the last DLC we're going to get for Scarlet and Violet, right? Unless they come out of nowhere and they're like, oh, by the way, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think this is it. And I think we might get like a black and white remake or something next year. But yeah, I think this is it. I think this is it for Scarlet and Violet. Like I said, the biggest appeal for people is going to be that it's going to be difficult. And that's something Pokemon fans have wanted for a while. And I don't know how long it's going to be. But the fact that, like, you know, we had this preview and we just kind of got the tip of the iceberg, that to me is very promising. So I'm interested. And like I said, we got no story elements. You know, we just got a couple hints with Serrano and a couple, you know, with Carmine and where that story is going to go. So I think it's going to be a decent size experience.
All right. Megan, Christian, you guys got anything else, or are you good?
Well, I mean, I have something totally unrelated
to Pokemon
Scarlet and Violet. Great. After, you know, when we were asked about whether Sarah appears in the Pokemon Horizon dub, I did some digging. And yes, of course, we knew she was going to be in it. In the first episode, she voices some minor characters. Yeah. But
who sounds just like Ash. It's this like little guy. It's hilarious.
But more importantly, Matthew Mercer is the main bad guy of Pokemon Horizons.
Really?
Oh, I'm real excited right now.
Yeah, like he is the main, he is like one of the leader, like one of the ad. I don't know if he's like the main bad guy. Uh-huh. So he is one of like the he's one of the admins for like the bad guy team. So they haven't revealed exactly like who, like I guess it's like this character named Gibeon who's might be like the main bad guy. But Matthew Mercer is a recurring bad guy in Pokemon Horizons. He's playing a character named Spinel. And one, he looks like a blue-haired Matthew Mercer. And two, he is an Umbreon user.
If you have the option to have the voice of Ganondorf and Dio be your villain, you take that chance. You go with that opportunity.
I think, yeah. Christian, the next question is when are we getting Matthew Mercer on the show?
I mean, I think that we can make a much stronger, pitch for it.
Probably wait until February because you know, we got that nice, meaty Netflix delay. You know?
We have to pretend it hasn't already aired.
We're going to have to wait until 2024, I'm sure. But it's on your to-do list, Christian.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, so we asked, you know, it's really funny. We asked to interview Mercer for when he was revealed as sexy Ganondorf. And Nintendo was like, oh, he's not doing interviews. And then like 2 weeks later, an interview popped up on like some random like website. And I was like, me and Tanner were both like,
what? Sometimes you just gotta go around.
We're gonna have to go straight to Mercer.
Path least traveled. Yeah. you gotta do.
We'll figure it out. We know enough people to get some inroads into the Matthew Mercer camp, so we'll figure.
A person who knows a person who knows forest goes on. We'll get. We'll make it happen.
It was weird. He wasn't like on like the trail because the voice actor for Zelda herself was kind of out and about trying to do interviews, and for whatever reason, we never heard back on her. But so that's interesting that she was out there, but he wasn't.
All right, Christian, give us the Pokemon fact of the week.
You know, for as exciting as Kyogre was last week, Groudon, a little bit of a disappointment.
That's because all of Groudon's appeal is in his look.
He's one of the cooler looking. I actually saw the beta version of Groudon, and it looks even cooler. Like, what? I don't understand why they did what they did to Groudon, because, like, I think this was like one of those Pokemon that the beta version, they're definitely like, oh, this is a cool Pokemon, but we can't sell enough plushes of it. I'm going to put it in the link. Give me a second. Cause it looks freaking awesome. Like, I want that Pokemon. I'm putting it in. Give me 1 second. I'm putting it in our like chat stuff. Okay. So I did my due diligence on that. But so Groudon's big thing is, I did not realize this actually. Probably because I'm like, you know, when Groudon primal evolves, it becomes a fire ground type Pokemon. And I never realized that. I always forget that Groudon isn't a fire type Pokemon.
Right.
It's a ground type Pokemon, which, you know, it's in the name. So, you know, but the reason why no one realizes that it's a fire, you know, but that Groudon's a fire ground type is because it has its 4x weakness to water, but that 4x water weakness is only activated because Groudon has like the desolate land feature, which totally negates all water type damage dealing water type attacks. And it can't be, you can't replace the incredibly harsh sunlight that desolate land causes unless you use either Kyogre, you'd have Mega Rayquaza, or Rayquaza, excuse me, Primal Kyogre. Those are the only two things that can like stop it. And so that is why, you know, I didn't know Primal Groudon was a fire ground type.
I mean, I think the other thing is that in every Pokedex entry for Groudon, it's like, it sleeps in magma. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it lives in a volcano. Like, how is it not a fire type?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
They rectified that with Omega Ruby. That was
Where we're like, oh yeah, now it's a fire type. It's one, but you know, because it has like the super OP ability, like no one realizes there's like, you know, it's a fire type because you have to go in and you have to like look at it while it's primal evolved to see what its typing is. And nobody's doing that because you're too busy battling. You're too busy. Like, look, I have the power of destruction itself, you know, and it is trapped within my Pokeball. And now I shall use it to like, you know, like reverse, like, you know, like the ocean levels rising. Take that, global warming. You know, ironically, despite the fact that global warming is what, you know, he's a fire type, but in this case, like, raising the temperature is good. It's like, I am God with Groudon. And then, like, you know, Groudon's like, you know, I'm a fire type. It's like, shh, go and kill those Pokemon. Kill Team Aqua.
Can I say that's actually one of my favorite things about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is that every legendary from, you know, the last 2.5 decades has always been like, oh, this is God. This is, an extremely rare Pokemon's horrifying clone. And then you have Koraiden and Mirrodin, which are just two dumb dogs that love sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. Like,
I know they're technically legendary Pokemon, but like, are they? Because, you know, we have all the motorcycle lizards that are just running around and like we use them as our modes of transportation. And like, all this one is one is wearing a questionable headdress, which, you know, may or may not be offensive to some, you know, people. And the other one, you know, is cyberpunk. And you know, that is, you know, that's you know what they are, and those are legendary Pokemon. Like, sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love the comment we have in Twitch right now from I have God clipped to my belt.
Literally,
it's just great. Richard, were you able to pull up the beta Groudon before we close it out? Because I just went to go take a peek at it, and Christian, I got words for you.
The words are, you're right, and this is awesome.
No, the words are basically, it looks nothing. It looks the same. What it different? Looks, it looks the exact same.
The head is different. It's got
how
spikes. It's got a longer head.
No,
you know, it doesn't have the goofy, like, weirdo eyes. Like, you know, like I love those eyes. The eyes look awesome. The head looks much better.
I think those are just, they're just unfinished.
No, they aren't. That's a different, that's very different.
I guess the snout is more square. Oh, you know what it is? The snout and tail are different, where like the snout on Groudon now is much more pointed.
Yeah.
You have the flat rake tail, where here you have like flat rake mouth and pointed tail.
Yeah, no, that's I like
the
that.
Only difference.
There's more spikes. It looks like that looks like, you know, like a danger. It doesn't look like a like, oh, we, you know, look at the Groudon is a Pokemon that has grown on me over the years. Like when Gen 3 came out and they're like the new legend, like here are the new legendaries. And it's like, look, it's this like goofy dinosaur and a whale. And I was like, well, and it's like, oh, and it's a snake dragon. I'm like, none of these look cool. Like
what? You didn't like Rayquaza right from the get go?
No, yeah, I thought awesome. Rayquaza. I did not. I wasn't, you know, I just didn't like it. Like I didn't like the fact that like all three of them had like the weird segment thing going on. Yeah. Like, you know, I was like, what are these earthworms? Like, you know, like it just, I don't know. Just did not appeal to teen Christian. Like when I That's came fair. Back to the franchise as an adult, I was like, oh, these are cool Pokemon. Like, but I just, you know, like, you know, and Rayquaza was not like sold on until like it got its like mega evolved form. And then it's like, you know, like mega Rayquaza looks Very like cool. the god of the sky. Like normal Rayquaza looks like something that I would throw at my lawn, like, you know, like a lawn dart during like, you know, a party.
The only thing that I don't like about either of the three are the weird markings, mm-hmm. right? Like the circle line stuff that goes kind of all through them. That the marking stuff is a little weird. But other than that, I mean, I never really liked Kyogre.
See, I like all three of them, but Latias and Latios are kind of lame.
Yeah, well, you know,
Mark, if you listened to a previous episode of the show, you would know there is a fact about Latias, which
one? Latias, yeah.
Latias, that makes that Pokemon infinitely more interesting, only because of the lore of what happened.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but it still looks doofy.
But the previous, but you know, just remember, Latias is just half of a Pokemon, and the other half is Blaziken for some reason. They King Solomon that Pokemon, and no one knows why.
That's right. All right. Well, with that said, that does it for us this week here at A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your insight to the Indigo Disc.
Always we great appreciate to be here. It. Maybe it won Megan over a little bit. We'll see.
No.
Zero.
But you
Zero
know what? Questions. You put forth a valiant effort, Mark. And you know what? I appreciate I read your little thing about it when it came out, your preview. Excellent article.
Thank you.
Still don't care, ready for the new generation of Pokemon to come forward.
So I didn't do my job. But no, that's okay.
Look, you informed me, and that's all I needed.
Here's what's going to happen with the Indigo Disc. Unless you already have the game, I don't think it's going to make anyone want to buy the game.
Yeah, if you haven't been converted to Scarlet and Violet by this point, I don't think you've left it
behind. It's in the rearview mirror.
Unless they finally fix the issues that lets me, like, you know, actually play the game.
Exactly. Nope, not till a Switch 2 comes out, Megan.
I was just going to say the same thing.
That's what I've been saying since last year.
Last thing I'll say. Every time I go to one of these events, I will always say to the Nintendo Treehouse people, I'm like, yeah, you know, when you guys have me for the event for the Switch 2 unveiling, and they always laugh and they're like, you might know before we do. So
love it. All right. I'll get some business out of the way. As always, the best way to support the show, leave us a review, 5-star review on iTunes, or answer the Q&A stuff on Spotify. If we read it on the air, send an email to PokemonPodCB@gmail.com and we will get a sticker out to you. We love seeing folks put stickers on their laptops, on their water bottles, wherever. It's great. Otherwise, we want to continue the conversation with us. You can find us on X at PokemonPodCB is our handle there. I am at Jim Viscardi. Megan is at Megan Peters CB. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. And Mark is at Mark DaChamp. Duh champ. I didn't make sure I just want anyone that just spell it the exact way I sounded it out. And until next week, I think we'll probably have it's two or three weeks away. We'll probably end up pre-recording there is an episode that, Christmas falls on a Monday this year. And so
As does New Year's Day.
So we'll figure out what we're going to do for those shows as far as the live or when we record it or things like that. So stay tuned to the Discord again. Great place to find updates for the show there. Otherwise, we'll put some messaging out elsewhere as well. All right, folks. Another great episode in the can. May the shiny luck be in your favor, and we'll catch you next week. See you, folks.
Take care, everybody.